and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad that you're here. We have two serve opportunities that we would like to invite you to be a part of. The first, we are putting together hygiene kits for the men at 2100. If you'd like more information on what to fill in the bags and where to drop it off, visit our Christchurch, Ohio website for more information. And we would also like to invite you into the joy of ministry. If you have expertise in editing, sound, lighting, this is a perfect opportunity for you to join our online service. All you need to do is contact Sarah Berger at this email and get more information. We want to say thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do all of the amazing things that we do here at our church if it wasn't for your generosity. So we have two ways to give. The first is our Christchurch Ohio app, and the second is our Christchurch Ohio website. Just click on the Give tab. Thank you so much and enjoy the service.
Hello, Christchurch, and welcome to our live stream. We're so happy you're here. If you want to worship with us from wherever you're at.
Woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind set on Jesus. Falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, power in the mighty name of Jesus. every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giants, 'cause I know how this story ends. 'Cause I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. See a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh,
you take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good, you turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
Hey, Christchurch, thank you so much for joining us here. We're glad you could be here. For everybody who made it out to our parking lot service, it was so amazing to see your faces, even though it was only half of our faces. I love being able to see you. We are going to be again in our parking lot doing an outdoor service on the second and the fourth week in August. So if you'd love to come out and celebrate Christ with us and do church together, we'd love to see you then. I'm going to say a prayer and get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I think that you are amazing. I am so thankful for the gift that you've given us in Jesus Christ. I pray for myself. I pray for every heart that's listening today, Father, that you would do a good work in us, that you would turn our hearts towards you, that, Father, where we are tired, you would lift us up. I pray, Father, where we are worn thin, you would remind us one more time of who you are and what you are capable of. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a confession to make. I am terrible at waiting. It absolutely drives me nuts. Waiting in line at the grocery store, waiting in line in traffic, waiting for somebody who's moving in front of me at like a crazy slow turtle pace and I'm behind them and there's like no opening for me to get around. I'm terrible at it. It makes me grouchy. It frustrates me. It makes not nice thoughts come out of my mind and my mouth, and I want things to happen and I've got to move and I've got places to be and I'm busy thinking about all of the things that I have to get done, and typically I'm already running late, so whenever I have to wait, it only makes me more amped up. And I'm already rushing ahead about what I have to do and the places I have to go, and I don't have time to wait. I need to go right now. Or I don't want to be stuck here. I want to move on to the next thing or solve the next problem. I want action and I want change and I want movement and I want it all to happen right now. I'm terrible at waiting. And because I'm terrible at waiting, I have many times acted impetuously. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've made life harder on myself and on the people who are doing life with me. I told you guys about a month ago, we got a stack of letters in the mail from our insurance company.
And even though I didn't have time, even though I was already stressed out and in a hurry, I sat down and I opened up every single one of the letters and discovered that they denied all of our FSA account uses and that they wanted us to pay them back close to $2,000 immediately. They removed our ability to use the account in the future. I called the insurance company that we work with, and I spent over an hour on the phone with a very kind woman who basically told me it was true, we needed to pay it back. And I was stressed out, and I was grouchy, and I was already late for where I had to be. My family had to listen to me rant and rave and complain about the unfairness of it. It kept me up all night worrying about the problem and how to fix it and what to do next. And what I didn't the next day, my husband got an email from his company that let us know there was an error in the insurance system and that we could disregard any letters that we'd gotten in the mail. If I had just waited one day to deal with this problem, I would have saved myself all the worry and all the stress. If I had just not rushed into it, if I'd put it off until the next morning, I would have had more time and more patience, and I could have avoided all of the frustrations to begin with. But I'm terrible at waiting. And maybe you are too. Maybe many of us are terrible at waiting because we don't want to be where we are right now, and we don't want to wait to get to where we think we should be. We want to move on, and we want things to change immediately, and we have things to do and places to be, and here isn't working. And we don't want to wait out this period. We don't want to be in this right now. So what happens is we start wishing away today, and we have ideas of what we want and who we think we should be and where we should be, and if we aren't there yet, well, we need more action and we need more movement and we need things to happen right now. And we never consider that this time and this place and this waiting might be where we could learn the most. It might be where we could grow and develop exactly the skills that we need to move on and become who we're supposed to be. So today we're going to look again at the next thing that David tells us we can do in moments just like this. We've been studying Psalm 37 together, and we've used it as this healthy guide for things we can do right now. Today, this week, the next 6 months, there are practical things that help us make healthy life choices, even in the midst of so much change and so much unknown. I love, later in the chapter, David tells us, I've been young and now I'm old. And here's what I've learned. Here's what I've observed. Here's what I've practiced. And it's this practical wisdom that helps create a guide for who we can be and what we can do right now. So today we're going to look at Psalm 37, verse 7. And David tells us here, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out his evil devices. All right, so David tells us that we can be still and wait patiently for God. Now remember, I'm terrible at waiting. But listen to how important this is. This idea of waiting on God shows up 24 times in the book of Psalms. It shows up 8 times in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. It shows up 11 times in Isaiah the prophet and other times throughout the New Testament. It's this really important concept that is absolutely necessary in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And friends, if I'm being honest with you, it's something that I've been trying to learn and practice for a good amount of years. It's not something that just comes easy to so many of us. Many of us look at life as a sprint, right? We have to get from one place to the other, and we've got to rush around to be here and be there and do this and do that all at the same time. Life isn't something so lived but conquered, because there's so many things. We've got a timeline to keep and responsibilities and things to accomplish. And while many of these in themselves aren't bad things, we miss so much of our life along the way. We're so busy rushing. I'm so busy rushing to the next and the next and the next that it's so easy to miss right now, right here, who we are in this moment of time today. Others of us miss out on this present moment of life because we've been so busy wishing it all away. Remember when you were little and you just couldn't wait for Christmas morning, and every day you would wish it to be the next day, and all those extra filler days were just getting you to Christmas morning, and then you just couldn't wait for summer break and you counted down the days and the hours until you get there. And then as we get older, all of a sudden it was we were wishing till we could be done with high school, and we were waiting to finish college, and then we couldn't wait to get married, and then we couldn't wait to have kids, and then we couldn't wait to have the right job. And all of a sudden, here we are adults wondering, where in the world did all of this time go? We do it with hard things in our life. Have you ever been here where you just wish away a circumstance because you don't like it, right? Whether it's debt or bad financial choices or a bad situation, or we want our life to change so much, we just wish it all away and wish it could be different. We wish away the hardness of today because it shouldn't be like this and tomorrow has to be better. And we just keep wishing it away and wishing it away until finally we realize we're wishing half of our life away. For some of us, we've been so busy comparing our lives to the lives of other people that we've never been able to fully appreciate what we really do have. We compare how do we look so much to how other people look that we never feel good enough. Our flaws are the only thing we see, and we miss these beautiful bodies God's given us that carried us to who we are today. Or we compare our families to other families, and somehow we feel like, well, if their family's rocking it, why can't our family rock it? And how we feel somehow inadequate. Sometimes we compare what we have to what other people have, and we feel like nothing we have is good enough, and it leaves us feeling worthless. Many times we compare our struggles to other people's very best day. We look at our messy day, and we see their highlight reel, and we think, nobody could understand. Nobody's ever had to deal with the hard things that I have to deal with. And we see people who are successful and think, you know what? I could never be them. Why even try? And we get so busy comparing our lives to the lives of other people that we miss out on joy. We miss out on contentment. We miss out on any type of peace we could ever have because all we see is where we come up short and what we don't have and where we're lacking and the hard things that have happened and that somehow we've gotten the bad end of the deal. Or we label our emotions bad and good. Emotions that hurt are bad, and emotions that feel good, that are happy, are good, right? We hate feeling bad, so we rush out of these hard emotions because we don't want to feel that way. We want to feel good again. We don't spend any time with the emotions that leave us feeling sad or hurt or mad because we don't like how it feels. And we think, I have to be happy again. I have to be on the positive side. Other people have it worse than me. I can't stay here. And we rush so quickly past these feelings that we miss half of how we should feel because we don't like the way that it feels. And so this idea of waiting on God becomes powerful in all of these scenarios. Before we go out rushing headlong into the next thing, what if we just stopped and were silent before God? What if right where we are, we spent time with God? What if before we acted impetuously on the next thing that stirs us up and has to be done, what if we just took a moment to quiet our hearts and minds before God and asked him to help? I really want you to hear me say this. Waiting on God isn't passive. So often we have such a hard time saying, like, well, I have to do something. I can't do nothing. This is doing something. And this is the thing that David tells us we can practice right now. Waiting on God is what we can do. And what happens is it's recognizing I don't have all of the control. I don't have all of the answers. I don't know how to do everything. And I absolutely cannot do everything on my own. But we remember that we are committed to trusting in Jesus Christ, and he never told us that we have to do this on our own. He never told us that the hard things we faced, he would throw us out on our own and not be there with us to help us through. We can wait on God. We can listen to him. So here's the first question we have to answer. What is waiting on God? What does that mean? How do we do it? So the first thing we look at is, what is waiting on God? And I'm going to share with you how the Bible teaches us what waiting on God looks like. And we're going to start with the Psalms. So the Psalms give us, like I said, 24 times throughout the book about what it looks like to wait on God. And it says things like, those who wait on God will not be put to shame. It reminds us that we can find strength and courage in waiting on God. It tells us that waiting on God teaches us patience. And patience is hard to come by. Most of us ran out of patience 3 3/4 of a month ago, and we don't have a whole lot left. It says that those who wait for the Lord can find blessings, that we find hope in the process of waiting, that silence and waiting go hand in hand and work really, really well together, that waiting takes time, and that it is good for our souls to wait on God. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God is waiting to be gracious to us, that we aren't just waiting on God, but God's looking for opportunities to be gracious to us. That waiting on God gives us strength and allows us to not grow weary. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard how God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So I'm going to put that together for us. Here's what we hear. Waiting on God is absolutely necessary for us to grow. Waiting on God is healthy for our souls. Waiting on God teaches us values that we need to do life well. Waiting on God, it energizes us, it doesn't discourage us, and it gives us strength. But waiting on God takes time. This isn't an immediate gratification, something that happens right away. It's a process that takes time. And it is never a wasted investment when we spend time waiting on him. Because in that process, we grow and we learn and we gain strength and we find hope and we become the men and women that God wants us to be. I came across this quote. A.W. Tozer said, "While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority." I know that we're looking at a world that seems out of control. I know that the months that we're facing seem more and more out of control. But it's when we wait on God, we are reminded that God is in control and he has not surrendered his authority over our lives, over our world. We find these things when we wait for God. So how do we do this? How do we wait for God? Waiting on God requires us to spend time with him. We don't just say, okay, God, I'm going to wait on you to do this, and then we never talk to him again, or God, I need you to do this thing, and then we never think about it again, and then a year goes by, and we're like, well, God didn't do anything, so instead, this is a process. We spend time with God, and the process takes time, and in the process, we're talking to God. We're spending time with God. We're listening to God. We're finding quiet moments to be in his presence and listen to him. You know, we get so busy telling God what we can't do. We're so busy telling God about everything that's wrong and how it's supposed to be and how it's not the way it's supposed to be that we forget to just stop and say, God, what can you do here? What do you want to happen right now? God, what do you want to change? God, show us who we can be in moments just like this. When I was younger, I heard my dad preach a sermon on this idea, and it stuck with me for years and years. So we talked in his sermon about waiting on God, and I'm totally paraphrasing because obviously years have gone by, and I'm not going to directly quote this, but he said something along the lines that, what if somewhere in heaven, God had a list of people that he was going to bless? And what if we started praying, and our prayer became, God, I'll wait to just be put on that list. If you've got a list somewhere of people that you're going to bless, I'm just going to wait for you to put my name on that list, that by your grace, I'll be a person that you bless in the future. And that idea stuck with me so powerfully that I just started praying it again and again and again. And it was at this really important time in my life between who I was and who I wanted to become. And for about a year, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, if you've got a list of people in heaven that you're going to bless, would you just put my name on that list? I'll wait for you. And while I was waiting and praying, I memorized a verse from Isaiah 30, and it was Isaiah 30, 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. And I remember writing that down on a little note card, and I had it in my car, and I had it in my house, and I would pray, and I would read that verse again and again and again, praying for the blessing of God. And I didn't know how long it would take. I didn't know what the outcome would be. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew I needed God. I knew I needed his blessing and his favor. And I know today, in looking back, I don't get to be the girl I am right now without that time of waiting. So friends, what if we practice this together? What if we started at home with our family? And as a family, we prayed for the blessing of God. What if together we said, God, we're going to wait on you. We know that you are a God who blesses people. We're going to wait for you to put our family on that list that you might bless us. And in that time, we prayed together and we were waiting intentionally and we memorized a verse together and we could grow that way as a family. What if we practiced this as a church? What if as a church we said, God, if you're looking for places to grow and bless, we want to be on that list, that you would bless our church, that you would help us to be influential, that we could do the work you've called us to do. And as a church together, we prayed and we waited and we learned and we grew together and we saw what God might do. What if we prayed that for our country right now? If ever there was a time that we needed the favor of God on our country, it's today. If ever there was a time that we needed God's help, it's right now. If ever there was a time that we needed the grace, compassion, and love of Jesus Christ, I cannot think of a better day than today. What if we committed together and we prayed and we waited on God and we said a verse that we memorized, whether it's this Psalm 37 or we memorized Isaiah 30:18 together and we said, God, we are committed to praying this together. Would you please help our country? Would you heal what is broken? Would you shine a light where injustice has not been solved? Will you do a work that only you could do? And we committed ourselves to be silent and we listened that God might teach us and help us grow. What if we committed together to wait for the mercy and blessings of God? Because who knows what God's love and favor and hope might lead to right now? I can promise you this. We won't ever feel embarrassed that we did this together. We won't ever feel ashamed of the time we spent waiting on God. We will never regret the commitment we made to wait patiently for God, because God is always a God who is worth waiting for. And the time that we spend waiting with him is a time that's never wasted. Our souls will be better for it. And friends, I believe to the core of my heart, if we commit to doing this together, our world will be better because of what God might do in this time. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please help us. I pray that you would stir up in us the desire, Father, to be silent and wait patiently for you. I pray, Father, rather than us going on and on about our opinions and what we think and what's right and what's wrong, we would close our mouths and listen for you. I pray, Father, that you would direct us in the way that we should go. I pray, Father, as we wait patiently for you, not comparing ourselves to everybody else or worrying about what's going on, we would be wholeheartedly devoted to seeing you at work. Help us, I pray. Father, our hearts need you. Our families need you. Our churches, our communities need you. And God, our world is crying out for your help. Would you please look in our direction, hear our cries, and help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Father's arms are open wide.
Thanks so much for joining us and have a great day.